headphones. It's all right.
That's all right. That's grown man stuff.
What happened to my headphones, son?
Yo. Okay.
Yo.
I have to start with something very podcast specific.
Okay.
Very, very this podcast specific. In the spirit of us always being ready and willing to hold our own L's, our own personal L's.
Yeah.
You gave me a hard time because at some point when I got this phone and it was new and I wanted to take care of it, I decided that because I lead a lifestyle that is a very active, outdoorsy, dirty lifestyle.
Okay.
That I wanted to make sure that the ports on my phone were protected. The headphone port and the charging port, right?
Yes, yes.
As dust-free and as waterproof as possible. Since I go swimming, I never know when I'm going to end up in water or, you know, just dirty circumstances. And you decided to call the protectors for those ports butt plugs.
Yep, yep. Phone butt plugs.
As it turns out, I do not lead an active lifestyle.
Okay.
And the only time I remove the headphone protector is when I record this podcast.
Oh my god, dude.
So today, right before we went to record, I went and to, you know, pull the thing out, and it had gotten stuck all the way in the headphone port.
Oh my god, yo.
Yeah, it was like an episode of ER. It's like a bad Grey's Anatomy.
Probably one of the worst things I've ever seen on a phone. But okay, so
hopefully you can hear me.
I can hear you, but I feel really bad for your phone, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, yep. Now it knows what it's like to serve time.
Good grief. Good grief.
All right.
Oh, God. What up, y'all? You're rocking on Rap Sucks Radio. that was a nice little intro for y'all.
Yep.
You know,
doesn't get better than that.
Doesn't get better than that at all. Real quick, though. We recently voted here in California. So my opening question, Kev, is, did you vote?
I did.
All right. Real simple follow-up. How long were the lines when you voted?
Well, I saw that a lot of people had lines. Mine, one, when I just went to drop off my ballot. Because the cool thing is you can get the mail-in ballot, but then you don't have to mail it in. You can go and drop it off.
Right, right.
If you want to, for you know, whatever. But when I went to drop it off, I don't think the lines weren't crazy. I went the day before, though. I didn't go on election day. So it wasn't crazy, but I saw a lot of crazy lines.
Okay. Is it fair that I think that the people who were in long lines complaining are a bit ridiculous, at least for California voting?
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean,
you have 6 days to vote. You could vote. You could fill out your ballot and drop it off.
I mean, well, yeah. I'm glad I did that, but I didn't hold it against anybody. I mean,
I don't know if I would hold it entirely against anybody unless they were fussing about it. Then I'm kind of like,
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I know Life Rex saw it.
As long as you're not out there with a tent or a hammock, you know, waiting for a sneaker drop or iPhone drop or whatever, it's like, come on, you know.
Yeah, but, I feel like you got to figure.
Hopefully, it also, but that's also my reaction to that was just simply that I hope that means that more people showed up than they had anticipated were going to show up, meaning that, you know, people are more engaged because that bar is pretty low. As far as like just people being interested in the one thing they can do to help alleviate a lot of the dumb stuff that they complain about all day long. You know, people always complain.
Yeah.
But the stuff they complain about most of the time, besides polling place lines, are things that they can actually help, you know, fix by voting. So, hey, you know, maybe that's the, you know, but that's me. I'm an I'm an optimist. I have a sunny disposition.
Hey, I just wanted to shame people, and you did exactly what I wanted to do. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yay.
Let's move on, man. We'll talk to y'all on the other side. Crack a can of Old Head Energy. You are live on Rap Sucks Radio. We'll discuss some things in a minute. Let's go.
Is he even listening? Does he even know how to listen to a podcast?
Yes, I'm assuming he... Well, you know what? He mentioned that he tries to listen, but he only can listen around the kids, and occasionally we might curse.
Oh, well, sure.
I think that's all BS.
Technically knows how to do it, right?
Well, like I said, I think it's all BS. He may not even know how to do it. But who knows? Hold up, though. Let me do the intro, because I'm going to leave all that in. I want to make sure that there's a little bit of shade thrown.
There's going to be more.
There'll be more. What up, y'all? You are live on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Trek Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
Yep.
We like to thank each and every one of y'all for listening to Rap Sucks Radio. Of course, you can catch us on rapsucksradio.com or anywhere podcasting be happening. Podcasting be happening, by the way.
That is the most progressive verb.
Progressive verb. Speaking of highly ethnocentric people doing highly ethnocentric things. Let's jump out into doing too much. Kev.
Yep.
Did you see the video of this?
Yeah. The funny thing is that's one of those videos that I know exactly what happened. I already have a take on it before I completely digest the video, but I have such a hard time watching it with the sound on. Just so that because I can't fully accept the whole thing happening. I've seen it, but literally today was the first time I watched the whole thing. Because you said we were going to talk about it.
It was tough. It was very tough to watch. Tom Steyer is doing too much. Or he was, at least.
Not anymore, but he was. Yeah,
he was. But it gives us a chance to talk about the primary. As soon as I saw it, though, I was like, he's going to be the doing too much guy. Democratic hopeful Tom Steyer joined rapper Juvenile, on stage for a performance of Back That Ass Up during a campaign stop at a South Carolina college ahead of the state's primaries. I read that about as well as Juvenile rapped that song, by the way. That being said.
Man.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible. My title for this is Back That Ass Up Out the Primary. Rolling Stone reported this, but you can find this across the internet, and the players involved are Tom Steyer and, of course, Juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
Just some quick notes, because I know a lot of you already know about this, and some of you don't, because I had mentioned it at work and even to my parents, and I think they were like, wait, what happened? So this rally was a last-minute effort to reach out to voters before the all-important primary in the Palmetto State took place at a gymnasium of Allen University, a historical black college in Columbia, South Carolina. Also there, though, Kev, were R&B singers Yolanda Adams, gospel singer Yolanda. Well, I think she's done both secular and gospel. Yeah.
Yeah, real quick, by the way.
Yeah.
And besides Jeff and Yolanda Adams.
Yeah, DJ Jazzy Jeff was also there.
Yeah, two other artists who have performed evidently at his rallies, which I did not. I didn't know about Jeff or Yolanda Adams.
Did not.
But also, he's had TLC and Boys to Men
and Boys
perform
to Men
at his rallies.
Yes.
And Juvenile.
And Juvenile's the one that ended was up the on one stage. That...
Son!
How? How sway? Oh. I like this last quote, man. Because you know what? I did not dislike Tom Steyer when I read about him. And it's funny because I was aware of his existence, but I wasn't really reviewing any policy. But he turned out to not have... He had some things I liked. You know what I'm saying? But he did say, win, lose, or draw, I fell in love with the people of South Carolina. I'm never leaving. Honestly, I am never leaving because this is an important, righteous fight, and we are going to win this fight. I'm not sure if he meant he was never leaving South Carolina. It wasn't
That's
very clear.
That's what I was wondering.
But if he was talking
or
about
not leaving the election, right? Or not leaving the primary, right?
Right. And if he was talking about not leaving the primaries, he said, honestly, I'm never leaving, in which he lied because he left 2 days later.
Yep.
So, which is fine. You know, it's fine. I don't think his numbers were polling very well, but, you know, there are other ways to stay involved. We talked about that last week. So, with that being said, I don't want to fade Tom a little bit too much, man. He tried it. I'm never leaving thing just sounds like, you know, the college party where the dude's having the time of his life, you know?
Right.
Look,
I love you guys.
I'm never leaving. I promise. I'm just never leaving. This is so crazy.
Oh, man.
Primary's got a bit interesting, though. I mean, right out of the gate, just like a bat out of hell, Joe Biden just runs and rushes to the top, which wasn't really projected. People didn't see him dominating the way he did. What'd you think about all that?
I definitely, well, first of all, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, neither
most
do
of us don't know what we're talking about.
No, we have no clue.
Let's keep it, you know, a little bit real.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't. And I still, cause I was feeling, and I don't know, I thought I posted it somewhere and I don't know where it is, but that I felt like Joe was going to be like, you know, the old man in the war movie who you love, but you know he's not making it to the end of the movie. Like he's the old timer. You know he's going to get picked off about halfway through, and you know you're not going to see him when the end credits roll. But he's there. He's still there. I didn't expect it. But hey, you know, what are you going to do? It's a trip. And Bernie's looking a little thirsty now. Which I don't like.
I don't either. And I voted for Bernie. But I will say this. My total political opinion, at least, well, not total political opinion, but my opinion concerning this Democratic primary and Bernie Sanders being in it has remained consistent when he didn't look like he was going to do too well and when he looked like he was going to ultimately win, right?
Right.
If the DNC doesn't cheat him last year, he doesn't have any more life this year.
Last election, right.
Yeah, last election. He doesn't have life now. You see what I'm saying? I just don't believe that his voice would be as strong, you know? Now, what was, you know, Sister Hillary.
Well, I hope they don't cheat him this election because I don't think I can handle his voice being much stronger.
Well, you know, Sister Hillary took a lot of blame for that. You know what I'm saying? Hill Dog. But that wasn't her. That wasn't, I mean, as far as we know, that she didn't have any involvement in that. And a lot of non-Bernie voters, there's a lot of you know, I guess the Bernie bro thing is a real thing. And there's a lot of news about how people are acting or what have you. I personally haven't seen it. I'm certainly not a person that acts that way. So I'm out of it. But I just think that you empowered him when you cheated him. You know what I'm saying? And whether he was going to win or not, you sort of did it. You empowered him. And my dad, he might actually listen to this episode because I told him that I was going to talk about him. I explained it to my dad like this. Look, if the Houston Astros this season ball out and win the World Series.
Yep.
And it's no cheating involved. They just come together as a team and dominate. What is the narrative going to be? You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing. And it's a little bit, it's going to be this anytime he loses or anything that happens, the DNC is cheating or in the way or doesn't want him to win. And whether that's true or not, you know, I'm not buying it all the way. I know there's some people that listen to the show that are like, nah, man, he's being cheated. Others that are listening to the show that are like, no, it's absolutely not happening. I don't particularly buy that anything is happening this year, but others do. Others do. And the only reason they do is because it happened last year.
Yeah, but I also don't know how exactly all that worked. Again, and I'm not joking around. I really don't have an understanding. Because my assumption, knowing how the world works, is that the DNC and the RNC have been doing this as long as they've existed. That they choose the person that they've, you know, or they have a feel for the person who is going to win them the most power in the White House, in the Congress.
Right.
And
right.
Wherever else, right, that they operate. And why would you not steer things in a direction that you think they are best for the party, right?
Sure.
So is that cheating? And yeah, there were probably some super sketchy things that they've done. But that's how we can't look at politics in a vacuum and say that it's pure when we're talking about the Democrats. And I'm not going to be the guy who says like that all politicians are trash, even though a lot of politicians are kind of, you know, they're politicians.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It's not a game that is, it's not a game that's super honorable all the time or nearly some of the time, you know.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe they, I definitely think that him not winning the nomination in 2016didn't quiet the voices of the people who supported him, you know?
Nah, because he's a different argument than, he's presenting a different argument than most people are presenting. And again, I'm not making a case for him here. I'm just saying that that's why, you know what I'm saying? You've got somebody that's different. You had a bit of the same thing with Trump, of course not to the same degree, you know.
I totally agree. I feel like there was definitely, or my assumption is there were people in the Republican National Committee who just were like, no, this dude is crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah,
and you know, they were trying to do everything they could to keep him, you know, to box him out, and he was like, have you met me?
Right.
I'm crazy.
Yeah, I'm out of my mind. I don't walk away very easily. I mean, and to be fair to Tom Steyer, who's doing too much, you know, Public Enemy performance, Flavor Flav fallout, all under Bernie Sanders. It was a little goofy to me. It wasn't good. I didn't follow it, Kev. I didn't follow any of the Public Enemy stuff. I didn't even look at it.
Bernie is the Yoko Ono of Public Enemy. Damn it, Bernie. Let's put it this way. Okay, Bernie Sanders to me is if at every away game that the Astros play this season, the fans in the stadium, the fans of the home team playing the Astros are given trash cans and bats. Trump is every Astros home game, the fans have trash cans and bats. That's and they're throwing all that stuff at the visiting team. That's Trump.
That's Trump. Absolutely. But hopefully Hopefully you guys got out and voted, and you guys are feeling well. I know. I'm gonna call an audible here. I'm gonna switch out a different topic than I said I was gonna switch out. By the way, let's jump into this next. Topic title for this is Pretty Sneaky Sis, or I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Pretty Sneaky Sis. Go ahead, get them one more time.
Now, when you think of that, do you think of the commercial or do you think about DOS Effects?
I actually think about DOS Effects, but I know that I'm also aware of the commercial. But wait, hit them with it one more time. I want to make sure we clip that one more time.
What, Umi?
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing it.
Come on,
you're the rapper.
You just did the Pretty Sneaky Sis. You just did it right now. The people want to hear it. How's the commercial
pretty
go?
Pretty Sneaky Sis.
There you go.
No, that was DOS Effects.
Okay. All right. Hey, yo, I got my rocks. I don't know what they were ever talking about. Anyway.
Never. That was literally like watching. Because the thing is that if I didn't know, if the lower third on the clip didn't say that was Juvenile that Tom Steyer was dancing to, there's no way I would have been able to identify the song. And I know the song. That's literally one of my favorite songs in the history of music. But it was so bad.
Yeah.
And it's not like you could follow him dancing to pick up the beat.
No, you could not. Wacky
much
waving,
like DOS Effects.
It's wacky arm waving inflatable tube man type dancing real quick. But yo, Johnson City Police Department is wild for this one. Earlier in the month, the police of Johnson City Police Department warned the community of meth contaminated with the coronavirus.
Yep.
Oh, man. In Johnson City, Texas, if you have meth in Blanco County, the police want you to give them a call. In a Facebook post that has since been removed, by the way, the Johnson City Police Department said it has reason to believe methamphetamine in Blanco County may be contaminated with the coronavirus. They state in this Facebook post, so if you have it, the police are asking you to come forward so it can get tested. Police say they'll even make a house visit if you would like and just call their number.
Blanco County.
Just
steady Blancoing.
Doing the most Blanco. Get it. You know what I'm saying?
The funny thing is that this happened in Florida, too. I mean, this happened. I think it was a bunch of, like, super clever police officers who, like, one of them did it, and then everyone else shared it without liking the original post or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, you got to do better than that.
In Florida, it probably worked, though, to be honest.
It probably did. Everybody turned in their meth if that was the same type of post. But, yeah. All right, so of a lot of the misinformation about the coronavirus, this is one of the more funny ones. But there have been quite a few fallouts and reactions. Kev, have you stocked up? Do you got toilet paper? You got water? You got what you got, man? What happened?
What is the water thing? I have a faucet. We live in America.
Can you?
Which used to be the greatest country in the world.
Thank you.
What
so
happened?
Much.
You know. What? Why?
I don't get it.
I did get extra toilet paper though, because I'm like, you know what? That is not a hill I'm willing to die on. Yes, I have water from a faucet, and I have leaves outside in my yard, but I'm not. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's the toilet paper thing is the one thing a lot of people don't get. And the thing I kind of do get. All right, well, if I got to stay at home and and everything is quarantined, I can't go outside.
I'm taking most of my dumps at home.
Yeah, I'm going to need that. I think I'm going to need that toilet paper. The water thing, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, so we have filters in the house. Me and my wife have had this argument 3 times this weekend.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, look, we have filters. It's not in the water supply. Well, it's not in the water.
Right.
What are the bottles of water for? You know what I'm saying? And she's like,
and what was...
She was defending people who may not have filters. I'm like, well, I mean, then go get a water filter. It's way cheaper.
Wait, where? Here or Flint? No disrespect to Flint.
Well, okay.
No disrespect to the good people of Flint.
But there's one place where I could understand if there was a crisis, there everybody making sure they had water, right?
Yeah, okay.
But here, I'm like, go get you one of the Purells, fam. It works. You know what I mean?
Man, we drank out of the hose until
man, listen,
last weekend.
Everything you said so far is exactly what I said earlier in a debate. Dude, you said everything I've said so far. Keep going.
By the way, wait, what kind of water filter do you have? Do you have a Brita?
We have one. We have a Brita and we have a Purell.
Do you fill the Brita?
Yes, it's just me. I'm the only person who knows how to do it.
See, that's why we're friends.
Is it not the worst, though?
No, because, you know why? Because it's not just that you're the only one and that I'm the only one in the world who fills the Brita. It's the fact that when I fill the Brita, the 2 minutes later, somebody needs water. And they complain because the water comes out of the top of that damn Brita. And they're like, oh, aggrieved because the unfiltered water is escaping into their cup. You know what? Get out of here.
Right? Fill it.
Go buy some toilet paper.
Exactly. Fill it yourself.
This is what real heroes have to deal with. Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen.
Do you understand the work that goes on? Tom Steyer's out here dancing. You know what I'm saying? The good people of Johnson Police Department are trying to save you from this meth crisis that has Corona in it. And here we are doing way more than both by filling the Brita consistently. It's ridiculous.
I dare say we are here quietly doing God's work.
Filling the coffers with pure drinkable water.
Exactly. By the way, no holy water anymore.
No, not well.
Nah. How does that work? By the way,
how does holy water work?
What is the mechanics of because if it's holy water, how can you get the virus?
Well, to be fair.
Not for nothing, but
to be fair, the Catholic Church has yet to say that the coronavirus is in the water. So,
but they're saying out of an abundance of caution, we are going to throw thousands of years of tradition.
Well, okay, wait.
Or don't flush you... thousands of years.
That's an interesting thing because I haven't been to Catholic Church for quite a while. Damn, it's almost been 30 years. That's crazy. But anyway, don't you drink from the same cup? Like everybody drinks.
You know what I'm saying? I literally have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know.
I don't know if they still do that. So the contention is this is not God's fault. This is your fault.
Well, I remember that there was a time when I went, because we were Catholic or went to a Catholic church when I was lived in South Central, and then we moved to West Covina. We no longer were part of the Catholic church. But what I remember is there was a time when they transitioned to handing you your own like small cup. So, you know, you got the, you know what I'm saying? The bread and the wine or whatever, the juice. And it was, but before that,
the cracker.
Before that, I kind of remember people drinking from the same cup, and then the parishioner would wipe the cup, and then the next would hand it to the next one. I think it's been like 30 years, so that might, if anybody listening out there, like, confirm that for me, because I don't remember.
My understanding is trivial and overly Hollywood at best. Like, I thought it was a more of a spritzer type of situation. Like, you know, the way you put on cologne when you're between your teenage years and when you realize that wearing cologne is not a good thing to do anymore?
No.
Like where you spray it up in the air and you sort of walk through it?
Walk through it, yeah.
Like I kind of thought that's what the holy water thing was. But, you know, I'm dumb.
Oh, the years of me smelling way too much, like way too much Drakkar Noir. Good Lord. Those days, thank God those days are over.
I just realized that's what Teslas look like, bottles of Drakkar Noir.
That is true. Maybe those days will come back for me if I could ever afford a Tesla.
Interesting.
Man, oh, shut up. That was actually a pretty good transition, affording a Tesla. You know,
fantastic.
So, yeah, I wasn't even trying. yo, my man, Kev. First of all, the way that this story, when I read, so I read your topic title first, right? I'm kind of at work skimming through the top list of topics as I add mine to it, right? So I read it and I was like, what?
Way to spend your work time, by the way.
Hey, no one said I wasn't at on my lunch break.
Okay, all right.
I wasn't, but no one said that. Dude, when I read the actual topic, I was like, dude, you're so stupid.
I don't even know which one you're talking about.
Triumph.
Now, so, yeah.
Triumph.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I fell out. All right. So the topic title Kev came up with for this one is Triumph.
Exclamation point.
A group of men driving around in Rolls Royces posed as famous rappers to scam more than $100,000 from exclusive hotels, according to a criminal complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in Atlanta. The source for this is WSB-TV in Atlanta. The players involved are two gentlemen named Aaron Baines Burpo and Walker Washington. All right, so Pete, investigators say the two gentlemen claim to be the entertainment firm Roc Nation and the Wu-Tang Clan.
Cash rules.
The Georgian Terrace Hotel and Hyatt Regency in Atlanta say they walked out on tabs worth $45,000 and $39,000. It wasn't until a hotel in Augusta suspected a scam that Barnes Burpo and Walker Washington were arrested.
Oh, man. Yep.
The gentleman in charge.
If what you say is true.
You know what's funny, though? I wouldn't know.
No, that's why it was so brilliant to me. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everyone knows Wu-Tang Clan, right?
Everybody
knows Wu-Tang. I think a broad cross-section of America has heard of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Correct.
But could not name one of them, much less identify any of them. You know, by look, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, dude, it's a great hustle.
It was an amazing hustle. I'm like, you probably should have quit while you were ahead on the first tab. You should have just quit. Like, all right, we did it. Yeah, you know, 45 grand, we got
or
away
change
with it.
Let's it up. Be out. Yeah. You know, if you're gonna go to the fair, that's the thing is that they ran up 40-something thousand and 30-something thousand tabs at two hotels that seem to be relatively high end.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And got pinched at the Fairfield Inn.
Oh, man.
In Augusta, was it?
Yeah, in Augusta, Georgia, yo.
Cause you know that security guard was like, come on.
Yo.
Come on.
The best.
Why didn't they say they were crisscross or something like that at the Fairfield Inn.
In Georgia, maybe somebody
Sleepy Brown.
Somebody might have figured it out. Yeah, I was going to say, they should have said they were like from Dungeon Family. Like, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Matter of fact, the one of the notes that's one of the most hilarious parts is that two others in the group told deputies that they were homeless men from Atlanta who had been recruited by the defendants to be bodyguards. I was like, yo.
Atlanta's the only city that has just diesel homeless dudes. Just ready to be hired.
Ready to be hired.
To play acting roles. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I used to walk into Unity and some of them dudes used to look homeless. I used to not be sure. But, you know.
What?
I used to not be sure, man. Honestly, I used to be like, all right, is that the style? Or is dude homeless?
You're talking about the security guards or the Wu-Tang members? Affiliates.
I won't specifically speak to Wu-Tang because I don't think I've ever seen them at Unity, but... I used to go to Unity or some hip hop shows and be like, yo, I'm not sure if that dude is part of this event or if he's homeless. I'm not certain.
Well, yeah, but that they also probably weren't stealing tens of thousands of dollars.
They should have been. No, I'm just kidding. They could have got away with it. Oh man. The saga continues.
Crazy flamboyant. For the rap enjoyment.
Yo, B, I had crazy visions. You know what I'm saying? All right, so boom. We're going to pretend to be Wu-Tang. Yeah, that's wild. That's too wild for me. I am actually...
Criminology!
I'm shocked that they got away with it, period. Because they did choose two things, just to wrap this whole thing up. They did choose two things that you really wouldn't have an answer to. Like, I'm from Roc Nation. Probably didn't work out too well because people were like, who, what? What is that? So then they got back in the
Roc Nation and the Wu-Tang could be dangerous.
You know what I'm saying? Right? Then they hop back in the car and they try again and say, yo, we should probably use Wu-Tang Clan. And that worked. That worked out.
Were they in MPVs?
That would have made it so much better.
That's what gave it away.
Right, they weren't in MPV. Doing donuts in your hood. All right, I'm done with that. All right, I'm going to remember to add the tag to this, but let's hit him with a damn nature, Kev. You ready?
Damn nature!
You're not going to remember.
Oh, come on, man. See, this is, you're not, you know what I'm saying? Come on. We just bonded over the Brita, man. Like, you know, come on, be a pal. We're going to hit y'all with a damn nature.
Come on, man.
Man. A swarm of 30 to 40. Is that right? That's right, because it was the side of the building. What's up?
I gave you the chance and you didn't take it.
All right, go ahead. What did I miss?
The segue. Speaking of killer bees on attack.
Oh. Price is Right fail noise. Yeah, that was crazy.
Torture.
Killer bees on a swarm would have been a perfect segue. Damn it. Anyway, a swarm of 30 to 40,000 Africanized bees sends 5 to the hospital in Pasadena with stings. Yo. I think I read somewhere that the Africanized bees are not really from anywhere near Africa. I'm going to have to fact check that, but I think it's hilarious if they're not.
The Africanized honeybees, by the way, are also not here for your bullshit.
They're not messing with you. Oh, shoot.
In any small type of way.
Not in Pasadena.
Interestingly, I went to research the history of this terminology.
All right.
The Africanized, so-called Africanized honeybee, was first introduced to Brazil in 1956 in an effort to increase honey production. Okay. But 26 swarms escaped quarantine in 1957. Pay attention, Trump administration. Since then, the hybrid has spread throughout South America and arrived in North America in 1985. Hives were found in South Texas in the United States in 1990. Build that wall. Nowhere in here is named a country, state, territory, or county that has anything to do with Africa.
Or village, or principality.
By the way, the so-called Africanized honeybee is a hybrid of the Western honeybee species, produced originally by crossbreeding of the East African lowland honeybee with various European honeybees, such as the Italian honeybee with coronavirus.
this segment. Oh, boy.
This is so problematic, man.
The Europeanized honeybee is what this should be called. Right? Come on. What are we doing? We're not doing it? We should do it. Hey,
listen. Can I please see your manager? Just, can I speak to someone in charge? I'm not mad at you, but I really do want to speak with whoever you report to.
That's like my favorite thing to say when I'm on a call or you know, having an issue, customer care issue. I'm like, all right, listen.
I am the manager.
Oh, yeah. No, not when I'm talking when I'm receiving poor service. I'm like, look, dude. I really say, dude. So I'll be on the phone with the customer care person and I'll be like, look, dude, check this out. I know this ain't you, fam. Whoever is the top person to speak to, just put me on the phone with them, man. Let's not do this. You know what I'm saying?
That is a good thing to say, because it doesn't always work, but what you always get out of that is you can, that's the immediate litmus test for knowing the character and the heart 100% of the person you're speaking to.
Yes, absolutely.
Because either they continue to push back or they're just like, all right, hold on.
Yeah, like, all right, man, hold on. And it actually gives you, it's also a litmus test in whether you're truly right about your customer care argument or not.
Right, right.
Because if you're wrong, or in their mind you're wrong, then they just kind of keep fighting it, right? But if they know that, you know, they're the ones in the wrong, they'd be like, all right, man, hold on.
I've literally told people, like, I'm getting ready to scream, and I'm pretty sure you're not the person I want to scream at. So why don't you put me on the phone with the person who deserves what's about to come out of my mouth?
Yeah, yeah, because it's going down. It's about to happen, fam. And it's not you. Like, you were your first line of defense. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
we're cool.
But anyway, we're cool. The Europeanized bees. I'm switching it up today. So look. This is Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, that this all took place.
Yep.
Anybody who's been to Colorado Boulevard in their lifetime knows that it's gone through a pretty big change from when it used to be a fun place to hang out. When I was young, Colorado Boulevard was where it was at. Now it's like, it's some weird hybrid of nice and too expensive to be around. I don't know. It's all right.
Yeah.
It ain't fresh no more, but it's all right.
Oh, okay.
It all started when firefighters responded to a call about a person with a bee sting, a singular bee sting, at Colorado Boulevard and South Bonnie Avenue. They discovered a large hive at a hotel on that block. Man, I actually wrote Killer Bees on a Swarm as the players involved in this, and I missed it. Because not only would it have been fresh, the segue would have been perfect. But
I got you in your own head now.
It's killing me, because the bees were found. The hive was found at a hotel. Like, the segue was so perfect. I cannot believe I missed it. Anyway.
Terrible.
One of the firefighters sustained multiple bee stings, believed to be about 17 stings, while treating the first patient. A spokeswoman for the city says a second firefighter was stung as bees swarmed out of control. Right away, we called the police department to assist us with shutting down a large area of Colorado Boulevard, which included Pasadena City College. Good Lord. This is crazy. I have an idea where this is at. Was at. So there were a lot of students in that area, and we wanted to ensure that we got pedestrians and vehicles off the street. In all, two firefighters, a police officer, and two civilians were taken to the hospital. This is so perfectly Wu-Tang. The firefighters was hit. The police officer was hit. Two civilians was hit. Called an ambulance. She ain't been shot. Word to Kimmy, don't go, son. Okay, anyway. A professional beekeeper was called to safely remove the hive. While that work was underway, the area between South Bonnie and North Sierra Bonita Avenues on Colorado was shut down to pedestrians and vehicles till about 7 o'clock at night. So, which is crazy, because it was dark by then. Because, 7 o'clock about a month ago, it was dark. So, yeah, it's wild.
Yo, man. Okay, first of all, let's pause and take note of the fact that in Pasadena, is this North Pasadena, right?
Yeah.
We're right on the border. Is Colorado the border?
I don't think Colorado's the border, anyway, but it is north.
In Pasadena, nice Pasadena. Yeah. This is nice Pasadena.
Sort of, yes.
You can call and say, I got stung by a bee and get first responders to show up.
Did not even think about it. Did not even think about that. That is actually very true. How sway? Yeah. Wait, why did the fire department come out for bee sting? Someone is not
like, no. Yeah, put some Tussin on it.
You got to do better than this. What are we doing? Yo, you'll be all right, man. What are we doing? It's a Rite Aid around the corner. Figure it out.
I see what you did there. You'll be all right.
I didn't even try. I'm so disappointed in myself.
You have natural ability.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, what's his name? Oh, man.
Damn nature. This is a pretty interesting week, man. We had just kind of a weekly wrap up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do this on Rap Sucks Radio a lot, but it's been quite a bit. We had the primaries, Flavor Flav and Public Enemy officially broke up. Well, did they break up or did he just get kicked out?
They are the first rap group, maybe the first band or musical group in history to break up by writing.
That's true. That is true.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's how literate hip hop is.
That's how literate hip hop is. And literal. It's crazy because, a lot of groups break up and while you're paying attention to them, right? Like Tribe never officially broke up, but you sort of just knew that it wasn't really a thing anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, rest in peace, right. Fife. And then they came back together or whatever. Like, but you just knew it wasn't really happening. You know what I mean?
Right.
Public Enemy broke up.
Like,
in the one time we were all paying attention to them again in total. Like, we were all, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that Chuck D wasn't on our radar. We knew that Chuck D was out doing his thing, right? Much respect. And you also knew that Flavor Flav had, you know, gone in and out of being a reality star and all of that. Like, it's not that Public Enemy wasn't on the radar. It's just they weren't on the radar as Public Enemy. And the one time that they returned to the radar as Public Enemy is when they decided to break up. It was interesting timing and all that. Like, yo, aren't you just getting back? What's happening right now?
Hmm.
But there's that.
Yeah.
So?
Not Private Enemy.
Definitely not Private Enemy. No, it's Public.
Thank you.
Public now.
Thank you very
much.
Try
the waitress and tip the veal.
Oh, by the way, but also this is a great way for this episode to go because last episode was dark.
It was.
Overly serious. God bless Omega for writing up the episode, even though I was like, oh, Omega's not going to touch this one because this was just too much.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
We were doing too much last episode.
We were. But, you know, in fairness, when George Zimmerman is the leading topic, it's probably going to go a little bit in a different direction.
Yeah, he should literally be he who shall not be named.
That is true. I would just call him Voldemort. Sorry, nerding out for a minute. But I probably would just call him Voldemort. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yo, you guys have been rocking with Rap Sucks Radio, man. We appreciate each and every one of y'all for rocking with us. Please make sure you like, subscribe, discuss, get down with us. Tell a friend to tell another friend, man. We are growing, and I really appreciate we're growing because I know we're growing because y'all are telling people, and I think that's dope. Word of mouth is actually helping us out quite a bit. This is Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Track Life and your fam Kev Sakota.
Yo,
on the count of three, we say peace. 1, 2, 3.
Peace. Come on, Flav.
Why I gotta be Flav, though?
Can it be all so simple?
Yo, Kev, slow down, man. You're losing him. All right, man. All right, man. Count three. We say peace. One, two, three. Peace.
Peace.
And we out, y'all.